Hello and welcome to the What's Cooking podcast. This is our Adjusting With mini-series where we're chatting to some of our past guests to hear updates on how their businesses are going and highlight any new initiatives that they might be working on at the moment. They'll be talking us through how they're adapting to challenges and generally keeping going during this time.
If you want to find out more about these guests that we're chatting to, and we definitely recommend you do that, you can scroll back through our archive and find whole episodes with these guests. You can learn about their businesses and what they're about. We really hope you enjoy these mini episodes and that you find some kind of comfort or inspiration in what they have to say. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
How's it going? How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, it's a bit cold at the moment, isn't it?
I know, I've got my fluffy jumper on. So yeah, fill us in on kind of how you're kind of personally, maybe we should do an introduction first actually. So how long have you kind of been with Maiden Hackney and what your role is there?
Okay, so I've been with Maiden Hackney since almost the very beginning, about a month after it opened its doors in 2012. So I've shared the journey all the way through to where we are today. I've had various roles. I was going through a career change when I joined Maiden Hackney, so I actually volunteered my time when I first started, and then a year later I got offered a position and that as a coordinator, and then I became a director, and now I'm sort of in charge of the operations side. So I try to keep the overview of all the different areas of our work, which at times it's changing a lot at the moment, so that's quite an interesting responsibility to have. But it basically involves trying to make sure we're improving and implementing the systems we need to deliver all our activities in an efficient way. So it's a bit like being a mechanic. And that includes managing staff and training and safeguarding. So we're doing everything in a way that takes into account these important safeguarding issues for our beneficiaries as well as our staff working on the front line.
Yeah, so you're really doing a whole overview of it, really. Wow.
Yeah.
So we should say, kind of before this happened, Maiden Hackney were they're a community kitchen providing a key service in Hackney, which is cookery classes and education in nutrition, especially plant-based cooking, and kind of making people, individuals and families, feel more empowered to cook from home. Would you feel that's correct?
Yes, that's right. We were the UK's first vegan community cookery school as well.
Yeah, so you're really encouraging and showing people that you can create delicious food, which is often cheaper, without the use of any animal products, and obviously incorporates more variety into your diet as well, so you get that benefit too. So now you're not able to offer those cookery classes at the moment, so tell us what you've been doing, because it's really incredible what you guys have managed to do in just such a short space of time.
Yeah, well, as you said, with everyone at the moment is having to completely change the way they're working. We had already been working our team remotely because our kitchen didn't have an office. So the pivot to being able to work at home came very naturally to us. But of course, what didn't was having to stop overnight all our face-to-face cookery classes. So we had to, we basically gathered together as a team online, and we had to think, okay, how can we actually use this very challenging time to help others, but also stay afloat as an organization? So after a lot of brainstorming and mulling over lots of different scenarios, we eventually came up with the idea to put together an emergency food delivery program serving the most vulnerable in Hackney, providing a service which was delivering healthy plant-based food that was nutritious, giving the right balance of ingredients to people who were at the most vulnerable in our society. So we put together a crowdfunding campaign very quickly, within a few days, got that online, because of course we needed the funds to run such a service. We got that online, and the outpouring of generosity from the public was just so heartening. We were so humbled by the volume of people wanting to support us. And as the weeks went by, this momentum was just grew and grew, and donations just kept coming in. So we were able to increase our target week on week to help more and more people. So that's where we got the actual impetus to start. After about, I think, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, we actually realized, okay, we need to start delivering this service. We can't wait to the end of the fundraising campaign. People need food now. There are people going hungry, unable to leave their homes in lockdown. We need to actually start this service as soon as possible. So we got together the team. We partnered with a restaurant in Dalston called Angelina, who also were unable to do their normal restaurant service. So thanks to the guys at Angelina, they offered the use of their premises, their restaurant, also their chefs, their team. We were able to contribute to the salaries of the team to at least help them survive during these weeks. And they are actually now they're cooking 500 meals a day, Monday to Friday. Double portions on a Friday to help people through the weekend. And we're getting those meals out with the help of an incredible team of bike couriers. So we have guys and girls on these cargo bikes that can carry up to 40 meal portions at a time. And they get accompanied by a volunteer cycle buddy, so they never have to be on their own. And this helps provide a more personalized service, so that when they do the door drops, they can ring on the bell, they can take two steps back, they can have a conversation with the recipient, and then someone can be guarding the bike and looking up the address ready to go to the next delivery. So having two people really works well. We've worked with a lot of community organizations to find these people, because we often get asked, okay, how do you actually find the people that are most in need? And it's a very good question, and we have relied on support of a whole host of different organizations, people like community health workers, social workers, GPs, organizations like Age UK. We have a list of about 40 or 50 community organisations who've referred their most vulnerable members to us, and who are now receiving our meals on a daily basis. So that's how we've made sure we're reaching the right people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And are you still receiving referrals? Are you able to meet the demand that's coming in?
In the beginning, it was hard. We had more people than we could help, and we had a waiting list which we managed from week to week. So there's a natural attrition rate where some people, their circumstances change, and suddenly a relative can bring them food, or a neighbour. So they come off the service, and they allow new people to come onto the service. So it's got a sort of natural ebb and flow, which allows us to keep allowing new people onto the service. So I'm actually pleased at the moment we have only about 20 people on our waiting list, and they'll all get onto the service by next week. Yeah. But yes,
wow, that's amazing.
That's not the whole picture, though, of course. There's still so many people who don't have access to this in other boroughs in London.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. What you are doing, so that's 500, is that 500 households, or is that...
Portions, meals. So that represents about 350 individual households. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Incredible. And what's the response like been from the recipients? Because you're also offering a moment of contact and kind of friendship and conversation with the deliveries as well. And I can imagine for people that's been so valuable.
Yeah, some people it's the only person they see all day. So they look forward to having the knock and just the smile and the human interaction. It can be a real lifeline. One elderly recipient actually wasn't answering their door, and the courier got worried and they rung them. And it turns out that they were actually having problems breathing. And what happened is that the courier rung an ambulance and they were taken to hospital, and thankfully they recovered and they're back home again. But that just demonstrated to us the importance of having that contact with some of these people, because it really is, it can be the difference. It can really make the difference. And the gratitude, some people obviously are not used to the food that comes through their door. They're used to pie and mash, and so but it's been lovely. There's some of our beneficiaries say they're learning about a different way of eating. They're grateful. They're seeing that you can have a complete and balanced diet living on plants. So they're actually learning the whole sort of element of becoming healthy. And one elderly gentleman said, he said, to quote, "This has been the most brilliant thing that's happened to me in 20 years." So that was very heartening.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, that's so touching. Amazing. Just incredible.
Yeah. I was going to ask what's on the menu.
So we have, it's very varied. There's lots of different meal options. So we do things like mac and cheese, which is a good staple, which beneficiaries recognize. Mm-hmm. We do tagine, we do minestrone, we do vegetable curry, but not too spicy, because a lot of our elderly recipients don't like spicy food. So we try and make it as universal as possible whilst also being healthy.
And where are you getting your kind of ingredients from? Are you getting any help with that?
We're very fortunate to be receiving food donations from Edible London, from City Harvest, who I know you interviewed, Nikki, the other week, from the Felix Project, from many different sources. Yeah, we also get deliveries from companies like Natural Balance Foods, their Trek bars and energy bars, which we put into the Friday meal bags to give them treats for the weekend. So yeah, no, we're very, very lucky to get lots of food donations.
Brilliant.
Great.
Yeah, I'm just amazed how much you've done in such a short space of time, and how many people you're providing this key essential service to. It's brilliant.
Yeah, well, we're not, it's something, of course, there's also, no one knows how long this is going to last, the period of lockdown, the pandemic. It's a need that we're having to think about what will happen when people are allowed to start coming out of their homes. A lot of people in our society will continue to need some kind of support. So it does raise questions about what the future will look like for our service, for the general landscape of social services and access to essential food in the future. So we're doing a lot of thinking about our next steps as well, and as an organisation, how we're going to stay sustainable and able to continue our services beyond the lockdown and beyond the pandemic. And I can talk a little bit about that if you'd like to hear. So we've also started making juices for NHS hospitals. We had a request to deliver, to make and then supply an organisation who's delivering food and to some hospitals. So we've started making 420 juices every week from a venue that has been donated to us, a landlord who had an empty building in Shoreditch said, "I'd rather this be used for the community to help people during this period than be empty. Would you like to use it?" So that was an incredible offer. We were given the keys only, I think, a week ago, or maybe a little over a week ago. And we transformed this shell of it's huge. We're calling it the Juice Palace. And it's now the center of our juicing operations, where we are able to use donated fruit and veg for smoothie, for mainly juices, which then get picked up and delivered to hospitals, but also hospices and other organisations in need. So we're hoping to turn that into a more sustainable enterprise in the future. So actually turn it into a juice enterprise where we have a subscription service where people, members of the public, can subscribe to receiving juices which get delivered to their door, guess how? On bikes.
So who's making the juices? Have you got volunteers, or is that people from your team?
We have volunteers. We have an army of volunteers, as do many organisations. There's been an incredible outpouring of people. You will have seen how many people signed up to be NHS volunteers. Well, we've also been very lucky to have had this torrent of offers from everywhere. So we're able to use people to do the juicing. And we even have a volunteer shift manager now who manages the volunteers as a volunteer. It's incredible. And we make sure we look after them and train them in health and safety, and that they feel looked after and valued, because that's very important during this time as well. Self-care and making sure we all look after each other in order to help others.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the classes that have been happening over Zoom with some of your teachers. I saw you had a vegan cheese one. How's that been going, and what's the response been like?
Yeah, so we've managed to organise some cook-alongs online, and we are promoting these to people who want to join. We're making them pay by donation, so pay what you feel you can afford. We're suggesting £20, but the average donation has been about £10-12, which is absolutely great. We've got one coming up on vegan cheese on the 2nd of May, and then one on vegan sushi on the 6th, and healthy Indian cooking on the 7th of May. So they're about an hour and a half in length, and we provide all the ingredients in advance, a list so you can have it ready in your kitchen, and the recipes so you can be ready to go with everything laid out when you go online. And there's an opportunity to interact as well during the class. So we've had a nice response to those, because of course there was such a void when we had to stop everything that people were asking us, when can we start doing them online, when they were missing that interaction with us. So this was our response.
And that's going to provide an additional kind of income for you as well, for funding.
Yeah. It obviously won't replace the face-to-face by any stretch, but it certainly helps us. in the longer term future, we're hoping to actually set up a digital cookery school where we actually have courses where people would sign up to a block of 10 cookery classes as part of a course. And that will enable us to reach thousands of people and all over the world. It will massively increase our reach and ability to be a more sustainable organisation and not rely on face-to-face events.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I'm sure, yeah, you could get that interest from globally, where people can't come and visit, or even just considering, I think this has really made people consider their impact on the earth, and whether you live the other side of London, or maybe you live another part of the UK, you don't need to travel to you, because you can do it from your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's great. Is there anything else that you think we should add or let people know how they can help you and support you?
Well, there's always ways. it'd be great if people who don't know us could visit our Instagram page and have a follow and find out about our cook-along classes. Our crowdfunder link is still open, so it's an ongoing campaign. If you'd like to support it, that would be amazing. And just, yeah, spread the word, tell your friends, and see you in the cookery class.
we'll put all those links into the show notes, and we'll share them on our Instagram as well. Signpost people to all those places.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Oh, thank you so much for your time and sharing that with us.
That's okay. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's brilliant to hear what you've been doing. I mean, I'm so impressed and just, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, and also just drop in how amazing it was that we got to meet Olivia Colman last week. She came to visit our meal delivery service in person and spent about 2 hours ladling up the food into the takeaway containers, putting them on the bikes, going with her. She even did a few door drops and met some of our vulnerable residents. It was just a really wonderful day to have met her and to have had her see our operations in action.
That would be brilliant to open up the door to Olivia Karma with your veggie curry.
And one of our recipients, actually, classic response. She literally opened the door, rubbed her eyes and said, "Gosh, I must go and get my glasses. You look remarkably like Olivia Colman." Yeah, classic.
And how did she kind of hear about it? Was she already a supporter of you? And
she was invited to come along by the owner of the Evening Standard, who has a charity partnership with the Felix Project. And as we are a recipient of food donations from the Felix Project, they wanted to visit a frontline organization that's using the produce. So that's how the connection came about.
That's brilliant.
Amazing. There's a lovely article with some pictures in the Evening Standard that you kindly sent the link for, so we'll put that in the show notes as well so people can have a look.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll keep following and keep seeing what you're up to. And yeah, just good luck with everything. What you're doing is just, yeah, brilliant. Totally brilliant.
Incredible.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And yeah, we'll speak soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.